Amen. What a great day to worship God. Amen. We get to come into a place, worship freely, and to lift our voice up in song. We had an opportunity to honor those who have served so faithfully and diligently beside their brothers and sisters, shoulder to shoulder. Many lost their lives. As a result of that, we were able to talk with the Henderson National Guard, and so thankful we're able to do that. A good friend, Doug, that I spoke with after Miss Renee made the initial contact, and so Doug called, and we got that set up, and we had a couple of men who were willing to come and to present the flags this morning, and we thank them so much for doing that and allowing us to worship our Lord with them together this morning. And now we come to a portion where I have the privilege of presenting the Word of God to you, and we've been looking at a sermon series entitled Fruit. Coming from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, we're looking at the nine fruits of the Spirit that are representative of a believer when we have totally surrendered and sold out to serve King Jesus. And when we do that as Christ followers, then these fruits will become evident in our lives. And number one was love. Without love, everything else falls to the wayside. And so number one was love. We've looked at that. And then last week we got to talk about joy. And this morning I want to talk with you about peace. Peace is something I think that a lot of us really don't experience on a regular basis. Would you agree with that? Think about it for a moment. Think about it. When we think about peace, a lot of us are thinking about world peace. We're thinking about the opportunity to be without war on the face of the earth for however long. You know, over 4,000 years, or almost 4,000 years of written history, there have only been recorded about 200 years of peace over that 4,000 year span. Do you know, I believe that 200 years of peace, really, as you look at it, it was just an opportunity for the armies to back up and reload their weapons. Really, that's what that peace was about. But I want to talk with you about peace this morning in terms of something that I believe is even more important than world peace, and that is that you be able to have inner peace. I think that's something that escapes us. I don't think inner peace is something that we experience. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that it's possible to have inner peace? Do you think it is? I see your head shaking, but I want to know, do you really believe that? The reason I ask if you really believe that is because I want to know how many of you experience that inner peace on a daily basis. The reason I ask that is because I know that it seems like our lives are in complete and utter turmoil. That there's constant war going on within our hearts, within our souls, within our families, within our communities, within our country, within our world. And we're looking at all of this, and we begin to wonder, well, how can I have peace in my life when everything is falling apart around me? As a result of that, we're really not able to experience real peace, I believe. Share a quick joke with you. There's a man, he was leaving church one Sunday, and he said to his pastor, "Your message today reminded me of the peace and the mercy of God." The man told the pastor that. The pastor looked at him. He said, "Why, thank you. I really appreciate that." And as the man was preparing to walk on past the pastor, he said, "Don't thank me. It's like the peace of God because it passed all understanding. It's like the mercy of God because I thought it would never end." Now, a lot of you think that's probably pretty fitting since I'm the one standing up here sharing the Word of God. I know a lot of times I'm up here and you're thinking, is he going to ever hush? And the answer to that is when the Lord's finished with me. Well, this morning, as we continue to move on and we look at what peace really looks like, I want to share with you, this is what God said in Job. He said, "Man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward." Do you think that there's going to be a time in your life where you'll never be without trouble or tribulation or turmoil? Do you think that is possible? Because the Scripture says, man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Have you ever lit a campfire? You ever seen those embers get so red, and as that wood burns, the sparks just fly up? Well, the Scripture says that man is born for trouble just as surely as sparks fly upward. And so I want to share with you that peace is not the absence of problems, but peace is God's gift of serenity right in the middle of your problems. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at an opportunity for you to begin to experience real peace in your life. If you're absent of that, if peace is absent from your life, my goal today is to share God's word in such a way is that you're able to acquire that peace that God desires you to have. And so with that, I want to ask that you would turn to Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 6 this morning. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. And I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of his word. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Let me share with you, this Herod right here is not Herod that sought to kill Jesus when he was a baby. This is his grandson, Herod Agrippa. And the Scripture says, now about that time, Herod Agrippa, let me share that with you, the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. So you get a picture of the chaos that's represented for the church during this particular time. Christ has already ascended into heaven. They've been meeting, they've been worshiping, and the community at large is very upset with how they're worshiping, especially those in leadership positions. And so they took a couple of the believers, the leaders in the church, and they had him killed. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. That was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison. He delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the doors were keeping him in prison. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today we ask that you would help us to understand the value of peace. As we had an opportunity to honor those who have fought for world peace, for peace in our country, so that we wouldn't be at war with other nations or even within ourselves. Lord, I want to ask that you help us understand the value and the importance of having peace with you. Lord, that you would remove any outside distractions, that we'd be able to focus on your word, that you would begin the process of speaking to our heart, even now, those who are suffering terrible tribulation. Those who are walking through the fire, those who might not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, that you would move any obstacle that might be present with them today so that they can experience the true peace that surpasses all understanding. And Father, in advance, we just give it all to you, thanking you. In Jesus' name, amen. So peace is very important, wouldn't you say? For a believer, peace is exceptionally important, amen? And then this morning, I want to talk with you about this. If you're not a believer, you need to understand that you too can have this kind of peace, and it's important that you seek to have that. And when we look at the Scripture, we're going to see this story where the church was being persecuted because of their belief, because of their faith, because of their faith and faithfulness to worship King Jesus. The world at large really wasn't appreciative of this. They thought Jesus was just a great prophet. And as a result of that, they thought that this group of people were just causing problems. They were just stirring up problems. And as a result of that, their desire was to try and cut the head off of the leaders. If they were cut the head off of the leaders, they thought maybe the rest of them would just fall to the wayside, that there wouldn't be an uproar anymore, that they'd be able to do away with this sect, this group of religious people who call themselves Christians. But you know the whole story, and as a result of you knowing the story, you know that that's not at all what happened. But as we look at this, let me ask you a question. How many times have you laid your head down on the pillow at night and you've not been able to sleep? You ever done that before? Lay your head down. Why do you think that is? Was your mind thinking about a lot of different things? Were you worried about something that might happen the next day or something that might happen in the future? Is that one of the issues when we wake up in the middle of the night? It's a result of us worrying over this or over that? Do you know that over 80% of the things that we worry about never come to fruition? And so we worry about these things that never happen anyway, yet it keeps us from having inner peace in our lives. And then there's another group of things that happen in our lives that we actually have no control over anyway. And when it's something that we have no control over, the best thing to do is for you and I to be able to give it to God. And really the idea is to let go and let God. And I don't know that we really do a good job of that as believers. And I do know that we don't do a good job of that as people who don't have a relationship with God. And so there are three points that I want to share with you, three truths, I believe, that are found in this text. And the first thing is this. If you have your bulletins, you can turn over on the back. You can follow along. But the first truth this morning I want to submit to you is this. Listen to me. God sees what you're facing. God sees what you're facing. Do you believe that there's ever a time in your life, believers, listen to me, Christ followers, men and women who love Jesus, do you believe that there's ever a time in your life where God has looked down on you and has not seen the mess, the turmoil, the trouble that's following you, the things that are going on to your life? Do you think that there's ever a time where God has just absolutely turned his back and he doesn't realize what you're facing? Some of you are thinking to yourself, I know this because I've experienced this myself on an occasion or two. God must not realize what's happening in my life, because if God realized what was happening in my life, then he would do something about it. And so we think we try and make sense of everything. And we figure that, well, God really just must not care about what's going on in my life. God really doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him at all. But as you look at the scripture, listen to this. The church was being harassed. Herod had stretched out his arm. He was killing those. It said, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And so literally what had happened is James had been decapitated. His head had come off from his body. He took his head, probably set it on a post so the rest of the Christians who were around could see that. If you can imagine a street being lined and a head being stuck right on that. Now, it doesn't say that in the scripture, but this was one of the things that happened in Rome. This is one of the things that they did, especially for those who they were trying to make an example of for the rest of the world to see. And so as you would walk down a specific road, as you would prepare to enter into Rome, you would see heads of people who had been decapitated, or you would see their bodies hanging and then the head beside them. And this was a sign for you to understand that they meant business and that they were not going to tolerate anything that would cause issues in the community at large. And so they were ruling. And I say all that to say Peter was right in the middle of all of that. He was aware that James had just been decapitated. He was aware of the situation. And now they had gone to arrest Peter. When they got him, the scripture says this, that they bound him before four quadrants of soldiers. 16 soldiers were literally watching Peter. They had their eyes on him. He was shackled. He wasn't able to get away. He wasn't able to run. He wasn't able to go anywhere. They had him right where they wanted him. If you can imagine the tactics we use today to go after a terrorist because they threaten the life of the United States, the freedoms that we experience, they felt threatened by the Christian. Ultimately, it was them feeling threatened because of power being sucked away from them. But in all of that, I say this to say that God sees everything that you're facing. In the middle of a jail cell, God saw what Peter was facing. It says that the Jews proceeded further to seize Peter now in the days during the unleavened bread. So it was Passover time. They had arrested him. And I think this was all by divine providence. I think that God was up to something, because God is always up to something. Amen? And God was doing something. He was working something out. And in the process of him doing that, Peter was right in the middle of everything. You know, I think a lot of times when we find ourselves facing trial and tribulation, when we find ourselves without peace, I think a lot of times it's just God working something out in our own lives so that we can stop looking at the world for relief and start looking to God. I believe that's what God's desire for us always is. Corrie Ten Boom, I don't know how many of you are aware of this lady, but she's a survivor of the atrocities of the Holocaust. And she was taken prisoner by Nazis. She was placed in a camp. And this is what she said. Listen, this is a quote. "There's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." I like that. You know what that says? It says it doesn't matter my lot in life. It doesn't matter my situation. It doesn't matter where I am. God sees my situation. He understands what I'm facing. And right in the middle of my crisis, right there, right that moment, right where I am, when everything is unraveling in my life, God is present. God's love consumes us if we will allow it to. Yet so many times, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, we live our lives void of the peace of God simply because we refuse to draw close to Him. This is what the Scripture says, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." I like that. Don't worry about it, but pray about it. So tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I think Peter was aware of that as he was right in the middle of a jail cell. As he's had a group of 16 soldiers around him. And then the Scripture tells us that really they took shifts. They watched him. They were making sure that he wasn't able to get away. He was a threat, and they didn't want him to be able to get away. Yet somehow, some way, I want to tell you, I'm very confident of this, right in the middle of that jail cell, I believe that Peter was able to close his eyes and get rest and sleep. You know why? Because I believe with all of my heart that he understood that God was watching over him. He understood that it really didn't matter what happened to him at this point. His greatest trust was in King Jesus to see him through that situation. And another thing is this. I believe that he remembers quite well that Jesus himself had experienced many of the same things that he was experienced right then. Jesus, even a few weeks before that, had been in the very same citadel that he was imprisoned in at that very moment. So Peter was aware that God was on the throne. He already knew that he'd been raised from the dead. He watched him ascend into heaven, and so he was well aware of the power that Jesus had. So I want you to know today that God knows what you're facing. Believe me, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter who you are. God knows. He knows what you're facing. But listen to this. Number two is God knows what you're fearing. Fear is something that really can consume you, can it? You ever been scared of anything? How many of you as a child, you remember you were scared of the dark? Or you ever been scared of the dark? How many of you had a closet that just wouldn't stay closed? It didn't matter what you did, that closet just wouldn't stay closed. And if you would go and close it before you got back to the bed, it would creak open again. You ever had that experience before? Or maybe mom told you right at pitch black dark, it's 9:30 at night, and she says, "Here, take the scraps out and dump them behind the shed." And you're thinking, uh-uh. There's something behind that shed. I'm not going out there. And she says, no. You're going to take these. There's nothing out there. Dad says, "Boy, you take those scraps out right now." And then you were more scared of what dad was going to do than what was out behind the shed. So you tiptoed. You were looking. Your eyes had adjusted to the dark. They were this big. And you're listening to the sounds. And then all of a sudden an owl goes, hoo, hoo. And you about jump out of your skin. You know, maybe that's just a story that I experienced. Okay? But there were moments that I was so scared of the dark that I wouldn't sleep upstairs in my parents' home. In mom and my stepdad's home, I wouldn't sleep upstairs. I was scared. I was up there alone, and I thought, not doing it. Too many sounds that I'm unfamiliar with. But I say that to say this, that God desires that you understand that He knows what your fears are. Peter was facing execution, and God knew that. He was about to be decapitated or hung, or something was going to happen. Peter was about to lose his life, but he had complete and total peace. Why? Because he knew that God saw everything that he was experiencing. It says this, so when they had arrested him, they put him in prison, and they delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, and intended to bring him before the people after the Passover. And so listen to verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison. He was guarded. He was watched over. But constant prayer was offered up to him. When Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. Man had peace. Man wasn't worried about the consequences of his action to honor God with his life. He wasn't worried about what was taking place around him. Right in the middle of a jail cell, he had complete and total peace. He wasn't worried. He wasn't fearful in any way. And that's exactly where God desires you to be. This is what Psalms 4 verse 8 says. It says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. That's good, isn't it? Listen. At night, it doesn't matter what you're facing. You still lay your head down and you go to sleep at night. Why and how are you able to do that? Because God is watching over you as His creation. I believe that as a believer, that it doesn't matter what I'm facing in life, what turmoil I'm right in the middle of, that I can lay my head on my pillow at night and I can sleep comfortably, waking up in the morning, knowing that God is watching over me. That's God's greatest desire for you, wherever you are, whatever life has you facing right now, whatever storm you're in the middle of. You remember when the disciples were in a boat in the middle of the sea, and the storms were just raging. The waves were literally flopping over the sides of the boat. The disciples were worried to death. And you know what Jesus was doing? He was asleep up at the front of the boat. With Jesus asleep up at the front of the boat, you would think that the disciples wouldn't have worried about anything that was going on. You remember the story, right? And then the disciples began to cry out to Jesus, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to drown? You know this story. You've heard it time and again. He asked them, why are you fearful? He even says that they didn't have very much faith. But then right after that, this is what he did. I believe he looked to the heaven, he raised his hand, and he said, peace, be still. And right in the middle of the storm the disciples were in, God calmed the storm. Sometimes God is going to calm the storm that you're in. Sometimes. Most of the time, God is going to enter into the storm with you and see you through. God knows what you're fearing, and He desires that you allow Him to be God in that situation. Here's what Psalms 121 verse 4 says. It says this, He watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. God isn't asleep on the job. God is watching. God sees all. He knows all. And He cares about what you're experiencing. But I like this. Listen to this. Psalms 121 verse 5. The very next verse says this. That the Lord watches over you. You get that? The God of Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's not asleep on the job. But then it says that He's watching over you. You. as an individual, me as an individual, us as believers, that God has your best interest in mind, that He really does care about what you're experiencing, and He knows your fears, and His greatest desire is to calm those fears so that you will have a peace that surpasses all understanding. But we continue to hold on to it. We continue to grapple with it. We continue to wrestle. We continue to try and do it ourselves, not allowing God to do His job in our lives. And I want to challenge you to let go and let God. I want to challenge you to understand that God is really in complete control. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says this, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Sometimes, occasionally, Ms. Jerry and Brad know this, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and for whatever reason I can't sleep. I'm going to tell you what I do always. I just start praying. I don't know who I'm praying for many times. I don't know why I'm praying, but there are many, many times I wake up in the middle of the night and I just absolutely cannot sleep. Maybe it's because I drink 4 pots of coffee a day. Not quite 4 pots, is it, Brad? It's a lot. But when I wake up in the middle of the night, 2-3 o'clock, I'm fine. I can lay my head down. I can go back to sleep confident that God is going to allow me to peace off into sleep. If I wake up and it's 5 o'clock or later, you can forget about it. I'm up the rest of the day, but that's okay. And this is what I do. I want to tell you, this is what I do. I turn my mind to the Jesus channel. You've got that. If you're a Christ follower, then you've got that Jesus channel right there in your mind. And that's what you need to do as a believer, because God does see and know and care about what your fears are. And the scripture says, Isaiah 26, verse 3, he says, you, he's talking about God, God will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in him. And so the challenge is that as a believer that you allow your trust to be completely and totally set upon the person of Jesus Christ, to take those fears, to crumble them up, to throw them away so that you can sleep in peace, knowing that God never sleeps nor slumbers, knowing that the Lord watches over you, knowing that God will keep you in perfect peace if you trust in Him. So that's the challenge for you. And then the last and final thing is this, as we work our way through these truths, I believe number 3 is that God shares how you're feeling. God shares how you're feeling. What do you mean He shares how I'm feeling, preacher? He can't share. I understand that He's God and He knows what I'm going through. I can see that. I understand that from His point of view. He can look down and He can see that I'm right in the middle of a storm of my life, the storm of the century, right in the middle of a battle that is raging around me, and I can't control it. I can't do anything about it. I'm right in the middle of it and I just don't have the strength. He can see that. But you're telling me that God shares how I'm feeling? And many of you are thinking that's absolutely false. There's no way God shares how I'm feeling. And I say absolutely He cares and He shares how you are feeling. Do you remember the story of Jesus, God in the flesh, literally stepping out of the glories of heaven into the world that you and I live in, being born in the flesh, born of a virgin, in a stall, in a horse trough he was laid in? I mean, this was his bed for the first few nights of his life. In a stall with stinky animals around him. This is where he lay. He was born in the flesh. He lived. He grew, the scripture says, in wisdom and stature. This is Jesus. God in the flesh literally stepped down and he experienced life just as you experience life. Matter of fact, he was tempted just as you and I are tempted in this world. There's so many things, and then if you think about the whole story of Jesus, he even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that his life was about to be brought to an end. And even there, he said, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." Don't tell me that God doesn't share how you're feeling, because you believe many times that the world is against you. That everybody is out to get you. That nobody cares about you. That you're all alone. That you're standing by yourself. And I'm telling you, that's an absolute lie from the pits of hell. God's word says he'll never lead you, leave you, nor forsake you. And it doesn't matter what you're experiencing in life. God is standing there shoulder to shoulder, side by side with you. And he is going to see you through. But you got to let go and let God. You got to stop trying to hold on to it. You got to stop. Because I'm telling you, here it is. If you'll just let God have it and you just release what you're holding, he'll take it. And he'll allow you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Don't you want that, church? Don't you desire that peace that surpasses all understanding? You don't understand where it's coming from. I'm telling you, God is its source. God will take it from you, and he will remove it if you'll just give it to him. It doesn't matter what battle you're facing right now. God's desire as your Father, your Heavenly Father, is to take it away. Take it away. And that doesn't mean that he just borrows it for a little while and then he comes and brings it back at the end of the evening. When you're busy, you forget about it, but then when you lay your head down to sleep at night, he brings it back. If you get it back at the end of the day, it's because you didn't release it to God to begin with. And so you release it. But I'm telling you that God understands how you're feeling with Peter in the jail cell. God understood. Him about to lose his life. He understood that Jesus cared about how he was feeling. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus was right there beside him. Great story. You've heard me share these many, many times when in the scripture, believers were faced with one obstacle after another. In the Old Testament, there's one story after another, one story after another, one story after another. And I love for me to tell the story of Daniel and the lion's den. When he was right there in the middle of that lion's den, God didn't keep him from it, did he? But God literally entered into it with him and he closed the lion's mouth. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, he was still in the middle of the storm. At any moment, that lion could have pounced and just destroyed him. But he wasn't able to because Jesus was in there with him and he had closed the lion's mouth. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who was right in the middle of the fiery furnace, yet when they looked, there was a fourth person walking around in the flame with him. God didn't keep them from it. God entered into it with him, with them. And saw that they made it through. And do you know the scripture says that they didn't even have soot on their clothes? That's power. Or when David walked through the valley of the shadow of death, God wasn't keeping him from it. But God, I believe with all of my heart, was escorting him through it. That's what God does. God cares how you feel and he knows how you feel. You know, we try and empathize with someone, but I'm going to tell you right now that Jesus really can. He's the only person who can truly enter into the shoes that you have on your feet and know exactly how you feel this very moment. And he knows if there's a war raging. He knows if you're absent from peace. Right in the middle of the storm, he wants to take you and calm you. He may not remove you from the storm, but he does desire to calm the heart within the storm. I want to ask you this morning, I don't know where you are, I don't know what you're facing, but will you allow God to do that? Will you allow God to take your heart and just to touch it, to encapsulate it, and to calm it? You stop worrying about everything that's going on, you give it to God. Let me share one last scripture in closing with you. It's Isaiah 49. Verse 15 and 16, it says this. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Listen, this is scripture. This is God, his ending, his closing, his final word for you today about peace. God will not forget that he has engraved you on the palms of his hand. You remember what Jesus did, don't you? You remember what the cross looked like, don't you? You remember that he was thinking of you completely, right? Listen to this, though. It was more than you and calling yourself by name, more than him looking at me and him remembering Brad, more than just my name, more than just your name. The scripture says that he remembered you, that he engraved you on the palms of his hands. I'm going to tell you, in the original Hebrew, I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. It's more than just your name. It's you, the whole person of you. This is what Charles Spurgeon said about this. And I want to leave you with this. Listen to it. God says, I've engraved you. He didn't say your name. The name is there. But that's not all. God says, I have engraved your person, your image, your circumstance, your sin, your temptations, your wickedness, your weakness, your wants, your works, everything about you, all that concerns you. I have put all of this together here. Will you ever say again that your God has forsaken you when he has engraved you on his palms? You think about that. That God has engraved you, your person, your everything, on the palms of his hand. So today, as we prepare to have an invitation, I want to ask you, what storm are you experiencing today? What trial or tribulation are you right in the middle of? What's going on in your life that's bigger and more powerful than God the Father, who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins? And then after he had breathed his last, he said, it is finished, being buried in a borrowed tomb, raised from the dead 3 days later, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on your behalf. You tell me, what problem do you have that's more powerful than the God who spoke creation into existence? I say none. Today I say I leave you with this. Let go and let God. Today I say understand that God has you engraved on the palms of his hands. If you'll just receive that knowledge today, you will experience true peace that surpasses all understanding. We pray with me. Father in heaven, today, in the matchless, mighty, most holy name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and we thank you. We praise you for who you are. We thank you for the work that you did on the cross for our sins. We thank you for coming back to life on the third day, that you sit at the right hand of the Father, that you intercede on our behalf. Thank you so much that your greatest desire is to calm the storm in our life. Or maybe it's storms. Father, today my prayer is that those who have gathered, that they would just turn it over to you, that they might experience true peace. Father, maybe there are some who are here this morning who have never trusted you as Lord and Savior, and they're living a life of complete disarray. Father, I pray that you would help them understand that you desire to help them put the pieces back together, but they'll never fit unless they include you right in the middle of them. Father, I pray for that individual who doesn't know you, who's never trusted you, that today would be the day of salvation. Just as in a few minutes we're preparing to have a baptism in the other building, Lord, someone, a young man, Ty, a young man who has given his heart and his soul to you as Lord of his life, I pray, Father, that today would be the day of salvation for one person who has never accepted you as Lord of their life. Today, Father, that they would come and that they would just hand it all to you and say, here I am, Lord. Take me as I am. Father, right in the midst of our turmoils, right in the midst of our trials, right in the midst of the storms that we're facing, I pray that you would help us to turn it all over to you. And I ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask that you would stand this morning. Invitation time. And I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what battle you're facing. But today I want to challenge you to let go and let God. Maybe you just need to come and you need to bow and you need to really lay your head on this altar and you need to turn it over to God. Today, if God is calling you to do that, then would you just come today? Whatever it is you're facing, turn it over to God today.